Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're listening to Petty Little Things with your hosts, Victoria Secret and Davina Divine.
Hi, Petty Bitches.
This is Davina Divine.
And this is Victoria Secret, who keeps forgetting to press record.
Yeah, every time I have to do like a record check just to make sure, for legal reasons.
What is that about?
It's, I don't know, but it's the fear of God comes through me. Oh, there's that ride going past the window again.
Oh, we're on Babe Watch at the moment.
It's like Crime Watch, but with babes. So Victoria lives near a boxing stadium. Can you say that? And you were just saying that you miss the boxing lads.
I do, yeah. Like, I mean, they're unattainable, but they're nice to look at.
Unattainable? Have you met me?
I'm talking about
for now.
Me. I'm talking about me.
Okay.
I mean, I'm an acquired taste.
I wonder why I'm never invited over to this place.
That's because you shave your legs, and you can't trust a bitch who shaves her legs.
Shave, like, I could hang a leg out boat windows and jack them in.
Like Jerry Halliwell.
Yeah.
Bag it up. Oh my God.
Bag it up is right.
Yeah, no. Have you ever been in that boxing stadium?
No, but I'd love to go.
I went once. I have to say, the booze is lovely and cheap.
Oh, I'd say so. And like rough and ready. I love a good rough and ready.
I think they give you, you know, the type of bars that give you a 2 liter bottle of 7-Up with your vodkas.
Like a pint of wine.
Yeah.
Oh God, I miss a pint of wine. You know, when you go to a gig and you're like watching some awful concert and you're like, it's okay, I have my pint of Pinot.
Which cost me €20.
Don't care. Don't care. Like, literally 3 pints later, you're falling out of, like, the Olympia or whatever. It's always the Olympia for some reason. Always the Olympia.
No, because if we're in there, we're robbing the booze out of the green room.
That's true. That's true. What's been going on?
Oh, God. So much. I mean, listen, I briefly spoke about this. I think lockdown almost drove me to the thought of, do I want to get a real job? Do you know what I mean by that?
Oh, yeah. Well, no. I appreciate the sentiment, but no, thanks.
I know. I mean, like, we've been working loads, but, like, there was a little moment where I thought...
Also, hang on. Real job. I hate when people say real job, because that's, like, I'm sorry, we are creatives.
Yeah.
We are creatives. Yeah. Like, you're not going to tell Leonardo da Vinci that's not a real job.
I should have called it a 9-to-5 job. Do you know what I mean?
9-to-5, yes.
Instead of a 5 p.m. to 9 a.m. job. Nine.
Because, do you know what? That's always the Twitter insult that people are showing. Why don't you go and get a real job? And I'm like, excuse you, me. This is a real job. I'm feeling very real right now. And I'm earning money. It feels pretty real to me.
Well, be careful. Don't get too real in here, because my neighbor has a rat.
Oh, my God.
A rat.
A ratatouille.
And I am the ear of the rat, but it's not me.
Oh,
it's definitely
God.
Not. No. She alerted me 4 days after she found it.
She alerted you, what, with a rape whistle?
I mean, who?
Rat! Rat!
There was room for two on the door. I've been having bad dreams about the rat, or nightmares, I should say. But even though it's gone, she got rent to kill out.
You have terrible luck with the rats, don't you?
Why, who else?
Do you remember what, in the old place, there was rats living in the wall? Do you remember?
Yeah, they were. Okay, so we used to live in this, me and my friend Dave used to live in an apartment in Rathfarnham. And we thought next door or the people above had really loud dogs all the time running around. I moved out and a month later, the new flatmate pulled the side off the bath.
Oh.
And it was like there was apparently tons of rats under there.
A rat's nest, if you will.
Mm. Have you ever seen a rat in real life?
Yeah, many times.
Like close?
I've worked with a few as well.
Name them. You think Dolly's a rat? Tell me now.
I do not think she is a rat. She is definitely a lot bigger than a rat.
That girl is a monster. Mm. So once a rat walked on my foot when I was like about 15 or 16. And I think that has freaked me out ever since. So.
Oh my God. I don't really mind. Like, obviously, they're disgusting. But... see, like, I always lived around, like, the city centre, so you always see rats kind of running around, which are, they're gross.
Yeah.
But I don't have the fear, like, the phobia.
And love rats, too.
Mm. Oh, love rats. Lots of them. Jesus. One for every day of the week.
So, she got them out. I think it's gone.
There it is. Your face just froze.
I'm nervous. I am. Here, also, we're a year doing live shows.
Let me take a breath and just gather myself.
Like, for real.
Yeah. Do you ever, I just feel like I'm constantly on the brink of like a mental breakdown.
Yeah.
Like, just, and when it is like 1 year ago today and you get this advertisement comes up of something that we did and you're just like,
yeah.
And you're like, where's that ad for Talkspace? Oh.
I'm getting them a lot at the moment. Are you? Like,
yeah, there's a lot of those because people are actually on the brink.
Yeah, they are.
Sorry, can I just, would you say on the brink or on the brim? Some people say,
on the brink.
On the brink. I say the brink. Yeah. Like, because brink of disaster. Isn't that what that means? That's how I think of it.
I mean, if we say it, we're right, so it doesn't matter.
Some people
really
say, oh, on the brim. I'm like, maybe you can help us out. I think it's brink.
Brim sounds very American, posh,
doesn't it?
Or like...
I heard someone on an American podcast saying it, and I was like, no, it's brink.
No, it's brink. It definitely is brink.
I'd fight someone for it, so.
Oh, show me them fighting hands.
Brink.
I have to say, you've lovely tan.
Thank you. I got out a little Bellamianta moment.
It's really nice.
It's nice, isn't it? The tan water is great enough for the face and the hands. Mm-hmm. Just for any brand, the tan water is really good because you can just put a little bit of moisturizer on and you don't get like the patchiness or the...
Yeah.
It's nice, isn't it?
Love that. Very, very nice. Should we get into a bit of a girly gossip then?
Please. I'm always ready.
Right, first thing I want to talk about is slurs in the street in Dublin.
Oh, here we go.
So in the past month, well, last Friday I did photos with Babs on the street.
Okay. Which is asking for trouble.
I mean, I don't know. I really don't think it is. It's about like, I'm like a fucking 10-foot clown on the street. Do you know what I mean? My hair is like twice
you
as wide as Dublin.
You can't expect someone not to comment on that though.
Okay, but it's what they say.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So a car was driving past and they rolled down the window.
Right, oh, here we go.
And they said the T-slur.
What did they say?
The T-slur.
The T-slur, okay.
Yeah. So like, and then because I didn't react, they called me a smelly bastard. Which did make me laugh, right? It did make me laugh.
Oh, like, but you know, you have to like, those people are just like, they're literally driving around like just fucking looking for reactions. Like they're assholes, whatever. But you know, like you can't just fucking... like brush it off.
Oh no, I brush it off. Yeah. But we're very strong people. That's like true. Words do not affect me in any way. You can call me anything. I mean, in fact, you have called me everything. Do you know what I mean?
Actually, I was in the back of that car.
But like, I mean, some people that would really affect them. Like, do you know
I know, I know. Yeah, like, yeah, I understand that. But also, you have to kind of put things in perspective. Like, if someone's driving around shouting out of a car, do you know what I mean?
Fucking idiot.
Yeah, like you can take it on board though, and
like
be emotionally hurt by it, or you can just go, well, they're fucking sad.
Absolutely.
Also, the fact that they're driving past, I haven't even got the balls to kind of stop. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm, so it's like a drive-by abusing, you know?
Yeah, totally.
So you have to kind of take it with a pinch of salt. You do have to.
Absolutely. I'm purely saying it for the fact that like so many people are like, oh, Dublin, you're so progressive, and like probably are like, we don't need pride and stuff like that. No, actually, like there's still loads of people that need a good educating.
To be honest, I think though, with all this crap going on and the way there's like people are bored out of their mind.
So
that's why all these fucking kids are on the street like slicing each other up, and like people are shouting out windows, and people are looking for these things to do because they're bored.
Yeah.
Because like the economy needs to open again. again. Mm-hmm. Not like obviously blaming it on that, but there's definitely way more antisocial shit going on.
Yeah.
Like every night now, even on my road, like you'd hear people like walking past up and down, mm-hmm. throwing road cones, like, you know, kicking car mirrors off. All this shit. That was like, it was always happening, but not to the extent.
No.
So it is.
And every 5-year old has a fucking kitchen knife in their pocket.
No,
do you know
it's
what
terrible.
I mean?
Like that is bad, but you have to just kind of go. It is the times. It makes me think, what are we heading to?
Yeah.
Because if things don't open, like, they need to get the fucking country open.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just...
they need to put you in charge.
Absolutely. I'd go in there, fucking whip the shit out of those bastards.
You'd have gorgeous hair for that role.
I would, actually. I'd always keep it up. And then, you know what? Like, private functions let it down. You know, like, they always do those shitty sitcoms. Hold on.
Speaking of this, I did a gig for Fianna Fáil.
Oh, God.
In drag. Now, they're words I never thought I would ever say.
Shame on you. Shame on you.
And hang on. This one as well.
Filth.
So, words I never thought I'd say. It was Fianna Fáil youth for a start. So, I think they're age 16 to 31. And I think before it, I kind of went into it thinking, these people are going to hate me. Mm-hmm. They're going to hate me. Do you know that kind of way when you get into your head? So I was afraid to push the boundaries. And then after about 20 minutes, I was making jokes, being like, oh, well, next prize, it's a vaccine of the beacon. Oh, and I made a couple of them get into fast drag. And they actually got really into it. They were saying, but I think I had a preconceived idea of what they were going to be like.
Yeah, and also there's something about them just ticking a box with that as well. Uh-huh. Like they're not known for being progressive, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So the fact that they're having a drag queen host a bingo turns my stomach, but I'm not getting into my political beliefs, but obviously it's clearly apparent. But yeah, there's just something makes me nauseous about it. It's not sincere.
Okay.
I personally don't think. And they're all like pushing the youth and all the next generation. Want to be the fucking next generation, because the ones they have right now are fucking the pits.
Well, the ones I met were actually sound in the end. I definitely went to me like, oh, what am I doing? What is this? And thankfully then I had a cracking group from Cork afterwards. These hens.
Oh,
I didn't think I liked hens.
Yeah.
Fucking ball with these
girls.
Well,
they're much easier to handle online.
Oh, that's so true. Because you can hit mute.
Yeah. But they're definitely the politicians. And do you know what rots me about the politicians? So just go back to that. It's that they always just...
Oh, she's on her soapbox now. Off.
They hop party when it suits them. So I've noticed that a lot with a lot of these politicians and people going for the Shannon and all this. It's like they're with one party to get in somewhere. Mm-hmm. Then when it doesn't fucking suit them, they switch.
Yeah.
So it's like, actually, hello, can we just...
Well, your bestie, Lucinda Creighton, like, you used to go back years. Oh, my God. Always going for dinner, still in lockdown.
She was putting her child into a creche near my house, and the evils I used to give her on the street. Like, what a...
She's a weapon now.
Weapon.
Yeah, no weapon. Need to hold back on that. She is a weapon.
God, I got really, like... a bit like vicious there. I could feel
you did.
It drives me nuts. I'm so sick of them. Like, they're actually useless.
Uh-huh.
It drives me nuts. And I just, when I see people struggling, like businesses still closed, like the rage is so, and it's, I think I kind of uncalm for a minute and then someone just scratches the surface and like Godzilla comes
the
out.
The beast is out.
And I'm just ready to, like, I can't wait to run into Leo Varadkar at a drag show that he frequents when he's probably not supposed to be, when he's breaking restrictions. Like, remember that time when nobody mentioned that, did they? And he was there. Next thing you know, we're all shut down again.
Yeah.
Well, wait till I see him again, or I'll see him at one of these late night rendezvous. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll have words.
Okay. Let's go to a lighter note then. It has come to my attention that pretty much every guy in Dublin has a dirty Twitter.
Like an XXX.
An XXX Twitter. So I we've spoke before about, like, everyone wants to do OnlyFans.
Yes.
And, like, has the dream of making all their, like, payments done by an OnlyFans. Mm-hmm. But this is different.
Right.
Everyone is putting up their dick pics and, like, their dick's getting sucked and they're showing their Marys to the world and...
It is becoming, again, I'm putting it down to open up the country. <'Cause it's> like, because what is going on? Like, I'm sorry, like, fair play, more power to you people. Like, if you want to get your ninnies out, like, good for you.
Yeah.
But, like, nobody needs to see your nipples like chewed toffees and...
But I want to do a fun little game. Okay. So what I've noticed is they all have a slightly different name for their dirty Twitter.
Okay.
So I have been thinking about, if I was to do a dirty Twitter, what would my dirty Twitter name be?
What would it be?
I think it would be Daphne XXX. Daphne, I don't know why. XXX? Yeah, because it's almost like a real random weird name. Do you know what I mean?
Daphne was my name for the James Patrice sketch.
Oh, it was.
Yes, maybe that's on your mind.
No. Yours was something to do with flowers.
That was Daphne, and you were Petunia.
Okay. Yeah. So
maybe I remember now. You just tried to take my porn star name.
Okay. Well, what would yours be?
Davina Divine. And I'd have to get her because the belly dancing lady that stole my Instagram name, she's Davina Divine.
Yeah.
So I'm Davina.Divine. Mm-hmm. So I have to just register Davina Divine on everything.
Have you seen her perform?
Not in the flesh. Like, I think she's based in California. Mm-hmm. She's always getting tagged as me.
Oh, God.
And she's never met me. So she's obviously kind of deep dived on me. But I remember when I first started drag, she was very kind of like up in the belly dancing scene. And mm-hmm. so she had way more followers and stuff at the time.
Yeah.
So now she keeps commenting saying, Davina's an amazing performer. Like, but she's never met me either, which is so strange. Like, but I'd love to say, do you want to do a little switcheroo?
Oh, I couldn't imagine you doing belly dancing, to be honest.
I don't mean it. I just meant with the Instagram name. I didn't mean the career.
Oh, okay.
I didn't mean the career.
I mean, if the check was right, actually, because, you know, you've been a stripper. So maybe you could be a belly dancer.
Well, yeah. Listen, in this day, in this like climate, I do anything, let's face it. Come here, do you know what I watched last night? Did you watch The Tiger King?
I saw the original one, yeah.
Yes.
I don't think I would have watched that, only for the fact we were in the depths of lockdown depression. It was lockdown one.
Oh, well, it was like the documentary of lockdown. Like, mm-hmm. everybody had watched it. And then Louis Theroux did another version. Did you see that last night?
No.
So it was on TV last night. So I tuned into that. Which meant Carol Baskin's lost loads of weight.
Ooh.
She looks very slim and trim. I was kind of shocked that was like first thing.
Did the tiger eat part of her waistline or what's going on?
Oh, I don't know. I say because she's probably, remember she did that cameo for Rolf Harris?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That was the last time I kind of had seen her. And then
she was on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. So maybe she lost the weight dancing. But I noticed that. And then they showed a lot of clips because he did a show with him years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of interesting. But it was a lot of kind of regurgitated old shit.
Okay.
But it was basically like they'd asked Trump to pardon him and everything. And Trump was like, I'm not familiar.
Yeah.
But they kind of showed some clips that basically
Did you know there was a limousine outside his prison that day? That Trump
they
was
thought?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
my
Trump
God.
Was doing his pardons.
Yeah.
And they were so sure that he was going to pardon him.
Yeah.
That they had a limousine waiting outside for Joe Exotic.
And when they asked Trump in the like press conference, are you going to pardon Joe Exotic? He was like, I don't know who that is. Like, he literally didn't even know.
So he was raging in prison.
And then he said to another reporter, do you think I should pardon him? And your man kind of said, I can't comment. And he goes, yeah, maybe I'll look into it. But like, clearly hadn't a notion.
Oh my God.
So
God.
That was kind of hilarious.
Do you think the husband was, you know, the young husband, do you think he was like on the out?
No,
like,
the husband's gone. The husband's moved on. The husband's remarried to a woman.
No. There's the last one, Dylan Passage, I think his name was.
I'm sure.
He was only about 20, 21. I'd say on the out, he was like, please don't pardon him. Please don't pardon him.
Yeah, stay in jail. But they show clips last night, I think, that basically proved that, like, he is nuts.
And he should be in prison.
He should be in prison. Okay. So it's like, you know, trying to get that celebrity thing behind you doesn't actually, you know, you still kind of threaten that woman's life.
Yeah.
So it's all kind of mental. Now, she's mental as well.
Mental.
But,
and she's doing dodgy shit too. Like,
oh, definitely.
For real. Do you think he has husbands in prison as well?
Oh no, he's in 24-hour confinement. So
you are kidding. Yeah,
so he doesn't see anyone at all ever. So he's basically locked away.
Why is that?
I think it's because he's been on Netflix and like he's probably a danger to himself. I think not to himself too, or he's probably not. It's probably not safe for him to be around.
I couldn't imagine that. Like,
American private prisons are so mental.
Yeah,
but and especially being gay in prison,
mm-hmm.
and being openly gay is a real no-no.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's dangerous.
I love Tiger King, so maybe I'll give it a watch. But if it's rehashed...
It's rehashed. No, don't. I wouldn't bother. It's just interesting.
You heard it here first. Davina hates Louis Theroux's program.
I love Louis Theroux.
She thinks they're absolutely
shite. I love Louis Theroux.
Louis, if you're listening, I know you're listening.
Louis' podcast is amazing as well.
Would you give Louis the wear? That's a yes.
No, I wouldn't.
That's a yes.
I wouldn't.
That's
it's a no,
yes.
I'm just fucking saying
you
no.
Dirty dog. You dirty bitch. You're mad from. I have a new fascination on Instagram, and it's something that probably you all know already, but I think we need to do our own version. It's siblings or dating, where there are these photos of like, are they a couple? Or are they sister and brother? So are they riding or are they not? And I think there's so many gay couples that you really don't know. They could be brothers. but are they together? Because they start to morph into each other. Do you know what I mean?
Well, all I'm going to say is I've been around a few brothers mm-hmm. in my time mm-hmm. that have been questionable. That's all I'm going to say. But,
I want to know more. I don't actually know the rest of this.
Well, there's been a few. There's, you know when you're just like, something's not right there.
Well,
just that is just my speculation, uh-huh. and I love to speculate.
Well, if you all at home think that we should do a Dublin version of Siblings Are Dating for the gays, I think we.
I'd be terrified to do that because I know I'd say the wrong thing.
That's part of the fun.
Oh well, then listen, sign me up because
I'll get you the Kylie wine.
Oh no, more Kylie wine. No,
we'll
more
do Kylie Siblings
wine.
Are Dating.
I can't even look at the Kylie wine in the shop. Like, it's actually grotesque.
It's turning your stomach now.
Yeah. Do you know, speaking of fascinations, we've talked about this kind of before, but my fascination has turned a little sinister.
Oh God, what is it?
Not sinister. So, this is mental. So, obviously, I have a very lovely little dog, and I have her since like she's baby, and I put her up online. Everyone fawns over puppies, and then you know you see other dogs that are very similar, and people have dogs and they tag the dogs. And so I found this dog when Winnie was a pup. There was another dog in Ireland that kind of was similar, and I kind of was, they were same kind of age, so I was following their progress and liking their page, and they were doing what you hate, and they set up a profile for their dogs.
Okay.
This couple, man and woman, set up, and they had like one dog, then they got another puppy.
Can I ask some specifics before you go on?
Yeah.
Was the man hot?
Well, I'll come to that.
Okay.
So, the man and woman had a dog, and then they got two dogs. So I was like, oh, they're so cute, and one of them was same age as Winnie, the other one's a little bit younger. And I was following, I was like, oh, that's lovely, you know, just stupid doggy pics, but like, fun in a way. Then I noticed that, you know, and they did what you would hate. So they were posting the caption like the dog was talking.
Hate it. Fucking hate it.
You know, like they be talking.
Mommy
like,
and Daddy took me to the park today.
Yes, like that kind of thing. And I was like, Daddy's actually quite a dish. I wouldn't mind going to the park with Daddy.
And, would you get off the lead or would you stay on it?
You wouldn't keep me on a leash. You wouldn't keep me past an electric fence if Daddy was around. And yeah, so I know. And I was like, they're a really good looking couple. Mm. And the dogs are gorgeous. I was like, oh, fab. But this is going on for years.
Yeah.
So I'm watching. I noticed that Daddy wasn't there anymore.
Oh.
So I was like, where's Daddy?
To the legger.
Well, no, I just didn't notice in the pictures. Then you obviously you're busy with your other Instagram. So I was like, the other day I kind of went back. I was like, where is Daddy? Yes. So I went through all the pictures, like about right back to like, I'd say maybe 2 years worth of pictures. Scroll, scroll, scroll. And I was like, oh my God. So I found Daddy in one of the pictures from like maybe 2019.
Okay.
And I clicked and Daddy was tagged. So then I found Daddy's profile.
Okay.
So then I went, Daddy's moved on.
Daddy's moved on.
Daddy, obviously, and poor the mother of the dog. She's like, she's gorgeous. They're both beautiful.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for her because I was like, obviously, she's gone through a real bad heart. And she posted something the other day. That's what triggered me. She said that we've been through so much or something. And I was like,
Daddy. About her and the dog.
Yeah.
Aww.
And I was like, Daddy did it. Daddy cheated. Daddy fucked off. Daddy broke her heart. Daddy left the dogs. I was like, oh my God, I hate Daddy. But Daddy's still hot. Daddy's still hot. But yeah, fascinated. I literally found myself. I don't even know these people. And I'm like going, oh my God, like so sorry for her. Like,
well, I just love that you are 100% have written the storyline that he cheated and ran off.
And I saw the new girlfriend.
Okay.
And she's kind of like a kind of... She's not as pretty as the, but she, they're very similar.
Okay.
Like, obviously, as a type. Just saying, I could probably be that type.
Would you be that type?
Kind of. Little taller, but like, you know. But yeah, like, just mad. But I love getting involved in these strangers' lives and just like getting down. Like, it's just nothing else to be doing these days. Like, literally, well, it's entertainment.
If I ever want somebody to get to the bottom of a story for me, I would ask you because your commitment to finding out the truth.
Yeah, I like to find the truth. Yeah,
is major.
And I also like to speculate.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to theorize. Is it?
Yeah.
Theorize.
Yeah, yeah. No, potential storylines.
Yes.
Always of what.
I'm like, well, it's either this.
Yeah.
Or this. Yeah. I like options.
Yeah.
That's why I was watching. You ever see Ancient Aliens? Did you see that show?
Mm-mm.
And I remember I was voice mailing you the other night show on the History Channel called Ancient Aliens, and they talk about how we are created by aliens and all this, but there's like zero proof. It's all just like total speculation. But I'm like, yes, absolutely, yes, aliens build the pyramids. Like, there's no fucking proof.
I don't know how you bloody sleep by the end of it.
Oh, I just love an alter, like a different narrative.
Yeah,
it's entertaining and yeah, so hilarious.
Gas.
But yeah.
Well, speaking of TV, I started last night and I could barely get myself to sleep. Married at First Sight Australia.
Oh yeah, you were saying.
Oh my God, it's so good. Now, you reacted to me like I was watching the worst thing in the world. Ugh. I'm telling you, this is housewife level.
I have heard that before. Someone has told me that.
There's drama.
Yeah.
So, okay, the last episode I watched, one of the grooms was telling his wife that he'd had cancer, and as part of this operation and chemo that they did, they accidentally severed a nerve in his body, and now he can't ejaculate.
Oh.
So he ejaculates inside his own stomach.
So is that why he had to go on Married at First Sight? Because no one's going to marry him.
Nobody he ejaculates inside his own stomach. The greedy bastard won't even share the cup with anyone else.
Gross.
All down in one himself.
What a waste.
But there's non-stop twists and turns. They're all fucking mental. Like, yeah, most are mental. But some of them I was really rooting for already. I was like, oh, I want them to work out. I am telling you, Married at First Sight Australia. I watched the American one. Shite. The Americans were annoying the hell out of me. Season 6 I started with. I challenge you to watch one episode by the time of our next podcast, because I think you're going
to
get hooked.
I just hate, like, as I said, I hate shows about, like, relationships and, like, based around relationships, because I just feel those people are desperate. It's like anyone searching for a relationship, looking for love, is a fucking loser in my face. Yeah. I'm just like, if you can't be okay on your own, you're a saddo. Like,
I heard it here first.
I start just when I was flicking through the TV last night, I found The Millionaire Matchmaker.
Yeah,
I've never seen that show, but your woman is a fucking
Mentler.
Witch. She's a witch.
Mentler.
And Dina Lohan was on it, Lindsay Lohan's mother. Just I was like, what is this for a second? And Fran Drescher, she was married for like 27 years to a gay man. He was on it looking for like a gay partner. And Dina Lohan was insane. And just watching her date somebody, like, it was so cringe.
Yeah,
like,
I was cringing. She's desperate for fame. And I also just love how you just went, a gay partner. Like, really, like, soft-spoken when you said that.
You know,
words.
Like, because clearly, like, you're looking for a ride. Do you know what I mean? You're not looking for, you know, dinner dates and holding hands.
Gosh.
You're looking to get lashed over by someone on the back of the bins. Do you know what I mean? Like, but this pretense is just so, like, TV.
Yeah,
it's just, that's not reality.
Yeah, it kind of sounds up to right up my street though too. Like, I for some reason I thought you meant Dina Manzo, by the way.
No,
last night when you were talking
Dina Lohan, and Lohan, she is bizarre. But she was supposed to be in The Housewives originally.
You're kidding.
She says you want the New York Housewives, but she's so flaky. Like, if you actually, she does all this weird body language that's very, I hate people that do that. You know, this, like, crossing their arms, flicking their hair, really deflecting.
Yeah.
Because it's actually like they can't face reality.
Talking shit half the time. That's
shit.
Why.
And constantly interrupting. Mm. She constantly interrupts when somebody was answering a question.
Yeah.
And it's just totally because she's not paying attention because she doesn't care.
Yeah.
It's just, if it's not about her, she's no interest.
Betcha she pays attention to Lindsay Lohan and how much money she's bringing in for the family.
Absolutely.
Though. Right, let's pause for a little petty promotional moment.
Yes.
For anyone that doesn't know, this week Davina Devine is on Eating with the Enemy.
Oh.
In fact, it aired just last night, and about a week and a half ago, myself, Davina, and a couple of bottles of wine watched the latest episode and did a react video. I hadn't seen it. Obviously, you lived it. Mm-hmm. And that is now live on our Patreon as well, because today is Thursday. Kind of gas.
I actually can't remember what we talked about. I can't even remember. I think we were like two bottles of wine in, I think.
It was really good.
Yeah. And I think the other thing about it is as well, we didn't really talk about it, I suppose. We talked about it a bit on the Patreon, is that the way they edited it down.
Yeah.
Like, there was so much more said.
Right.
That they just didn't include.
Yeah.
It's funny how they edit things to make, obviously they have like a narrative that they want to push, which is, I was kind of terrified what way it was going to go, to be honest, because there was a couple of things said that were very, like, she was, at one point she cried.
Yeah.
Like tears of kind of, like, not sadness, like she kind of cried like tears of joy because we had this weird breakthrough
connection
moment. She's so nice. We ended up not being enemies at all. Like, she's a lovely girl.
Yeah.
And I was kind of thinking, oh, they're going to go with that. But they kept it really, I think they really wanted me to be the bitch drag queen that hates kids.
Right.
Which is right. That is the who I am. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't going to say that on national television. Do you know what I mean?
No, I think you'd be really surprised. So definitely check that out. Also, we did this Davina versus Victoria about gay Irish words. Like,
That was fun.
Really fun. Yeah. Like, you know, what is, like, we got tested by Kitty Ni Houlihan at Gael Gore. So there's tons of content up on our Patreon, patreon.com/paylittlethingspod. And you can support.
And we're going to be doing a whole lot more. We have a lot more to come and loads of random stuff. So do. And we love the everyone who has supported so far. So thank you.
I was going to suggest something as well. And we're going to mention our patron of the week, and that is the lovely hairdresser, sensation, Lisa Eccles.
Lisa Eccles, Lisa Zink. This is, she's fab. Lisa is amazing and always supportive, supportive in real life, supportive online. And we know that you listen all the time, Lisa. So this is a big shout out for you.
Thanks for your support, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa.
And last little petty promotional moment is our next live show is going to be on April 23rd. What is it though?
We are going to be looking for a Laura love. I know we said that we actually hate shows about couples, but we're actually going to eat our words and we're going to find some love matches. But we're going to do it like real life, like actually get down and gritty like we did before. We did it a year ago and it was kind of car crash TV.
Yeah.
So I think it's time to bring it back. We're going to do a little bit of blind date.
Blind date, yeah. Mm. We're going to have a lot of singles and we're going to try and see if we can get one of them to be madly in love.
Yes, or even just get a blowy. No promises, no expectations. I think you can do
a blowy through a glory hole. It's still safe, apparently. Yeah, a blowy through gloves a glory and a mask. Hole. And then a reminder, you guys, tell one friend about the podcast.
Yes, just one. That's all we ask. One friend, one family member, someone you love, someone you hate. Just open your mouth, speak it out, and stay petty.
Ooh, lovely.
So we're going to be back after this with a fabulous little chat that we had earlier on this year with the gorgeous Sinead from Bewitched.
Ooh. Okay, you guys, next up we are joined by a pop star who, together with her bandmates, sold over 3 million albums worldwide, and somehow we managed to get them on board to headline at our Dublin Pride event in Vicar Street last year. You guys, it is Sinead O'Carroll from Bewitched.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Thanks for doing it. Does it ever feel weird when you hear kind of those statistics and those numbers and stuff? Because you must hear that like a lot of the time. Does that feel weird?
Yeah, especially I suppose on intros like that. And the last time it was done, like that was on the big reunion about 7 years ago. But in actual, it was more than 3 million, I think.
That's what I was thinking when it was.
Wikipedia got it wrong.
Oh, no way.
I was kind of. I was thinking, I was like, 3 million sounds like probably she's sold since then. I was like, that's.
No. But
we know it's a lot.
I know it was more. Yeah.
Which definitely. Is amazing. Like, it's such an achievement. That must be a little bit surreal, is it?
Do you know, it's only when you actually say it and it was at the time where people really bought singles and they bought albums. So like I remember when C'est La Vie went into number one, that sold 152,000 copies in the first week. So that like, it's kind of unheard of. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, and
it was a great time to be involved in pop music, especially we were co-writers as well. So that was just like happy days because we had such a short time, I suppose, you know, in comparison to some kind of bands or other artists. So it was good to kind of make hay while the sun shone.
Like I always think, you know, like I think with things like X Factor and all those kind of shows that have come into, you know, they say like Lady Gaga's poem, they're like 80 million records sold, whatever, and it's like you kind of become like you don't really hear the number, but when you actually think about even like 152,000 copies, it's like 152,000 people having a CD is nuts. Like it's amazing.
And that was just in the UK, I think, you know, because that's, I just remember the stats. Obviously you're signed to an English record label, so they're more worried about like, not more worried, but they're more attention on the sales.
You say like that's a short period of time, but you achieved so much in that period of time. And also,
when
you look back, like the Spice Girls kind of had a similar amount of time as well. Pop really was like huge. And then maybe it was like 2-3 albums and then, you know, things might have changed or breakups happened and smash hits was covering every single angle of it. I was kind of curious when we were talking.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Talking to Davina earlier, what was it like when Bewitched like kind of stopped in a weird way? Because one day you're this huge pop star dressed in double denim, and then the next day, like, who are you after it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a really weird time, because we were going to do a third album and we were set to fly to South Africa to do the third album. We had the single picked, and literally about 3 weeks before that was going to happen, we just got a phone call out of the blue saying that the label were not going to go ahead with the record. And what happened internally within the label is that the guy that originally signed us, he moved up to being the head of Sony. So we came in, you know, 3 or 4 years previous to that, when the whole team, everybody was involved with Bewitched. Everybody loved it. Everybody worked together, a right, really good team. And as he moved up, you've got other people then joining the label, like A&R guys who might have their eye on a band that's over here that they saw that they want to bring to the label, and you're not their baby anymore. So I know it sounds really weird, but the attention and the focus on the brand got a bit kind of, they didn't know what to do with us. And then we spent 2 years in the States, where you have to be in a territory and you have to kind of really work it and do all the magazines and do all the TVs and everything that you have to do. And we were missing from the UK market probably for a good year and a half. And you kind of then go out of people's minds. And even though we were dropped, we always say, on a double platinum album, it was, there's no point in putting a record out if all the team weren't really on board with it. And that's essentially kind of what happened. But to kind of get to your point about who are you when that finishes, that identity, you are so defined by being in that one quarter of that band. Your schedule is made out for you a year in advance. You don't have to think about so many different things. And you are kind of left, for me, I felt like a hobby that I had as a child, say from 7, 8, singing and dancing and doing everything like that, became my profession really early on. And then almost like, you know, the way footballers can maybe go play with another team or, I'm like, can I go to another band now? Or that's finished. It's not, you don't do that sort of thing. And it was just like, oh my God, what do I do? Yeah. So it was a very strange, very, very strange time.
Did you feel a bit lost, or like, were you just like, I need to be around my family, my close friends and family, and just kind of cocoon a bit?
Well, it's funny, because I decided to, when we got that news, I decided I wanted to leave the band, because I was about 6 years older than the girls, and I wanted to move back to Ireland. I had a boyfriend at the time who's now my husband. I wanted to settle down. I kind of wanted to, you know, just be not on the road. So I decided to leave, and then the girls wanted to go and get another deal from another label. But because of kind of obligations within the label, they couldn't release them to another record label. So I was happy enough to do that, but then I kind of was like, right, what am I going to do now? You know, there is that void, definitely. And I did various different things. I wanted to have the next Irish girl band out of Ireland, and you know, I put out auditions and about 1,000 girls turned up, and I developed a band for about a year and a half. They were called Minx. Amazing. They supported Blue. We did loads of different tours, but they were just this close, so close to signing with Universal in the UK. But then they went with another band that were two sets of sisters instead.
Oh, wow.
And after 2 years and after putting a lot of money into that, I was like, right, okay, I'm just going to walk away from the music industry right now.
As you're talking, though, it's like, it really, don't think people really understand, because we have so many kind of fond memories of Bewitched. And I think like that era of music was like such a golden age of like pop music. People don't really realize, like, it's like proper business. It's like, there's, you know, you guys are like the shiny shop front, but like going on behind, there's people in the stock room, there's people stacking shit, like there's work going on in that shop. Do you know what I mean? In that business. Like, it's pretty intense.
It is pretty intense. And you know what? To launch a band 25 years ago, pop band, you're looking at about £500,000 to actually, you know, do that. That goes into you know, trying to launch that to a level of what the label wants to actually have to make money from it. Yeah. And I think with us, one of the good things was that it just clicked in America. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it was really, really good. And then we start going international, which was in Australia, because there's so many Irish there as well.
Like, of course.
So it kind of transcended to a lot of different places. And it was so nice to be, you know, you saw the Spice Girls, you saw loads of people flying the flag. It was so good to be feel that we're Irish and we're representing Ireland on that pop circuit at that level. I think, you know, it's, you know, the boys have done it, and there wasn't any kind of girls out there doing it at that time. And you only think about that afterwards. You don't necessarily think about it kind of when you're in it. You kind of think about, you just want to be a good role model, I think, for younger children.
See, I always think as well, though, like, you know, when people think about Irish music and the contribution that people, like, you know, there's so many bands mentioned, like U2 and the Cranberries, the Corrs, and I always feel like, you know, I wasn't particularly into, like, I like pop music. I like dancing and singing, and, you know, like that, they were my people. And I always feel like sometimes you guys don't get the credit, I think, that you deserve, because you were like the voice of like a generation, you know, that kind of way. And I think going internationally as well, like, it was, as I said, the golden age of pop.
Do you know what? A lot of people say that, and it's kind of weird. I think, you know, we were at a time where, you know, we just did our job and we were working so hard, like, that's what we were focused on. We weren't one of those bands that you'd catch getting photographs falling out the Met Bar, or, you know, we weren't in the newspapers for those reasons, if you know what I mean, which kind of make you more, when people write about you like that, I think you're more susceptible to, you're in people's minds, I guess, when you're kind of just doing your job and you go under the radar in that kind of tabloid sense, you're not really on people's, in their mind. We just kept the heads down and we just really kind of worked. But a few people have said that.
And I know you were saying, like, that you weren't that kind of band, but was there that pressure as well to be, like, squeaky clean because you had got a younger audience? Was there, like, into, like, you know, was it kind of there in the background that you were supposed to be like that, or were you just naturally
we naturally were like that. I think when I met Lindsay and Kiwi, they were 17, they didn't drink, they never drank at all, like, during our whole kind of time. We were, you know, we were working 18 hours a day. I think in the beginning, I was only thinking about this the other day, we'd be abroad and even having dinner, like, in Spain with the record label. I never even ordered a glass of wine. I'm like, what?
I bet you're regretting that now.
I'm totally
all those meetings. Like,
do you know what I mean? Like, we just weren't, because, you know what, when you're working 17, 18 hours a day, you're running on an empty anyway. And we were all very similar. We all kind of wanted to get enough sleep. We knew we had to kind of
be ready.
We loved what we wanted to do, and we didn't want to be hung over, and we didn't want to be like that. It was bad enough, you know, when you have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and you feel sick because you have to get up early. So
it was the hardest time, though, for pop stars. Like, they were expected to be on the radio at 6 a.m, then go to the TV studio straight afterwards and go somewhere else and somewhere else. They were long days, so I actually couldn't imagine doing that with a hangover on top of that. I want to be a bit nosy, though, because costume was such an integral part of Bewitched, and we're both drag queens, and I'm telling you now, anything that you wore, we would have worn right now. In fact, I've probably tried to get someone to make those costumes. Did that come about, and why, like, because double denim is really low, like, synonymous with the band too. How did that all come about?
Do you know what, it was by accident. The person that actually styled us, say, for C'est La Vie, in the end, it wasn't necessarily their idea to use the denim. It was another guys that we did a photo shoot with, and it was very kind of G-Star denims, and it was just very kind of trainers and really kind of understated. And then, so we did C'est La Vie. So what happened was, all our clothes got stolen from the record label the night before we were to do C'est La Vie, right? So I remember Donna Eyre saying, oh my God, they look like they just ran across the Topshop and got a load of clothes. Yes, Donna, that's what we did. That is exactly what happened with C'est La Vie. And then we had, as Roller Coaster came on, we had this stylist called Ashley, and she just started to kind of rip stuff apart and stick stuff on it and, you know, do various different things to it. And that was kind of really good. And then as we moved on, we got had this lady, Faye Sawyer, who, I mean, she still does stuff for Little Mix now and stuff like that. She's amazing. And went did a lot of stuff on X Factor, and she became our kind of main stylist. And what that woman did not do to denim, like, you know, like, I don't know how she came up with all the stuff. She worked with the designer as well. Like, and they both kind of just, oh yeah. I mean, it's hard working with denim. It's really, really difficult. Like, it's not an easy thing to work with.
How do you feel about denim now? Like, now that you look at denim, are you scarred for life?
Do you know what? Everybody loves denim. But at the time, I didn't realize how good it was having that, because we didn't have to put false tan on. We didn't have to think about this. We just put the jeans on. I was always in heels. I didn't possess a pair of runners until I actually joined the band. I'm like, you are making me what? I'm like, where's my heels? And where's my, like, I was a bit more glamorous. So I struggled a lot. Like, I wanted to be like a young woman. I didn't want to look like a 16-year-old when I was like 23. So I did kind of resist it a bit, like, but looking back on some MTV awards and the Royal Variety when we did, you know, it was actually quite nice what we did. It was kind of timeless.
It totally made you stand out, and it's still to this day, it still stood the test of time. Like, everybody knows, like, even sometimes if somebody just sees somebody wearing a denim jeans and a jacket, they're like, bewitched, like, straight away.
Bewitched,
like,
double
it's,
denim.
It's, I know, totally, and
you
iconic. Know
what? Never got a free pair of denims. Can you believe that?
Never. Are you serious?
Never.
Oh my God.
We never got a free pair of denims.
That's outrageous.
I was like, when people talked about it, they went to Status Quo or they went to Madonna, and it was so funny. Like, it was just like, come on, lads, throw us a pair of denims.
That's nuts.
That's shocking.
Sorry, I actually thought my microphone was dead there, and I realized, no, it's fine. I had that, like, scare. We'll edit all that up anyway. Sorry, I don't know how to go back into that. While also we're getting, like, down and dirty into it, I need to know about Abomania, because I think every gay person in the world remembers that Abomania moment. And it was the songs that were played nonstop in every bar across the UK and Ireland too.
You know what? The Abomania thing, I was living my best life. So we did rehearsals for that for a week for the Brit Awards, and we had recorded the song. And I was just like, oh my God. So, like, ABBA was the first record that I think my dad brought home when we were kids, like, on the record player, watching it, like, oh my God, this music coming out. And when we did, like, the outfits that we had, I remember I got this, like, at the time it was like a 400 euro or pound wig that was put onto my head. Everything was designed. First, we got the whole platform shoes. And after we did the Abomania medley for ABBA at the Brit Awards, we were all going out afterwards, and I stayed in my outfit. I
walked up amazing
in my full outfit.
You stayed in drag. You stayed in drag.
I stayed. I swear to God, everyone's like, do you know when I get out of it? I was like, no, it's taken me hours to get into this wig. It's taken me hours. I am not taking it off.
Yeah, because you guys opened it, didn't you? I think you guys were the first.
We closed
ones
it.
On. Oh, you closed
well,
we, it. Okay.
Oh, sorry. Well, we closed the Brit Awards. We did an Abomania special with kind of Best Life as Nissan out on ITV and all the different songs and Stephen Gately and amazing stuff like. Yeah, that was really good.
Was that before,
so nice to
or
do
was it
shows
after
like that?
Was that
good question? I don't know, actually. I'm
it was
not
like,
too sure.
Oh, it was a pair. And then they did like a Motown one as well, which was fab. Yeah. But anything with like a Mania and pop stars.
Oh, we were there. I know. We were there.
Oh, yeah, no, it's great though. And we actually still do that in our set. We do an album medley in the set, like, and it's just brilliant.
It's timeless.
It's just really good.
Absolutely timeless. Yeah. Obviously, that's music that you really enjoyed. But was there a song, like, in the day where you're like, oh God, this is on the set list, I actually, that people would be surprised to think, oh, I thought they would have loved that song?
That we did.
Yeah, like one of your own songs, like one that you were like, oh,
one of our own songs.
We were talking to Samantha Mumba, and we actually were really surprised with the song she picked, that she was like, I never want to perform that song ever again.
Oh, really? Do you know what? No, not necessarily, actually. God, no, I'm trying to think, like...
Was there a favourite then, like one that you would like get really excited to see on the set list?
I like... I mean, we had four number ones, so they're always on the set list. Yeah. So, you know, they're always there. I think we'll always do an ABBA medley. Mm-hmm. We'll throw Hold On by Wilson Phillips in, which we kind of love. We kind of did a mashup of C'est La Vie and threw in Galway Girl Ed Sheeran. So actually, yeah. I like the set list,
yeah,
you know, that we do, because it's I can't really think any songs that, no, not really, actually.
Well, that's, a good like way. That's a good way to feel.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sinead, like of all the videos,
I think you're okay. We can still hear you, Sinead. It's just the video.
Are we there?
I think so.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, there we go.
Sorry.
Don't worry.
That's all right. Oh, listen, this is 2020, yeah. 2020 in 2021.
Oh, I know.
Of all the songs and all the music videos that you made, what was your favorite video that you did? The favorite video that you've made?
Favorite video was probably Jesse Hold On. We filmed that in Campo in Mexico. And it was like, I remember it cost a fortune to make. And I just remember looking around going, oh my God, they've thrown so much at this. And I love the fact that we kind of got out of our outfits and we were on the steam train and we just had to get all dirty and gritty.
Yeah.
And I really liked doing that. It was really hot though. Yeah. But I liked the whole, I just loved it.
It looked expensive. It looked very glam. Like compared
to
like
outdoors. The, yeah.
Yeah. Fab. As well. My friend, my friend Leanne was actually in your roller coaster video back in the day.
Really?
Yeah, she was like, she played, I think it was like the strong man's wife, you know,
at
the funfair.
Yeah. Girl. Yeah.
Yeah.
We bumped so into her a few times, actually, I think, along the way.
She's based in London, I think. And she used to have a shop in Temple Bar. And we used to know her from going in. She used to sell all random bits of like costume jewelry and stuff. So,
brilliant.
Yeah, it was just so random. But it was like of that time in Dublin, you know, like the Diggs Lane crew, and like everyone was kind of, it was a real scene at that time.
It really was. There's nothing like you. Like I grew up wanting to be in Fame, you know, like, and Diggs Lane was the closest to Fame that you could possibly kind of, it was brilliant. Like at Riverdance, the Abbey, the Gate, everybody was rehearsing there. And it was such a hub. You know, even the guys from the script, like Danny and Mark, and they were in a band called My Town.
Yeah, I remember.
And we toured with them in America at My Town. But Edel and Keeve used to dance with Mark and Graham Cruise, and it was just like there was just that whole vibe. It was just brilliant. It was so full of creativity.
Yeah, it's amazing to see though all those people like from over the years, because like I was kind of in around, I had friends that were connected in that way, and to see people have done so well, and some people like some of the dancers even are still like directing videos or doing things. It's great to see people flourishing.
It really is, and some really good dancers, like you had Kieran Connolly and then Fiona Fagan. Fiona went on to do amazing stuff. She's now a stylist now, but it's just great to see people, and then you meet them on the circuit in London and you're like, oh my God, fair play to you. It's great. Like, so
So we're going to just cut that there, guys. We're going to leave it there. We're going to leave you wanting a little bit more. So if you want to listen to more of our chat that we had with the lovely Sinead from Bewitched, head over to our Patreon. Mm-hmm. We have all different kinds of packages and prices to suit all budgets.
We're like Ryanair. we're the Ryanair drags, to be honest.
Oh, listen, and the rest. but now it's our favorite time of the week.
I'm so excited.
Time to vent. It's
Rotter of the Week. On Petty Little Things.
Oh, here we are.
I'm really excited.
Are you? Oh my God. I feel a little slightly more rotted this week.
Okay, good. Because like the last time you were like mildly rotted.
Yeah.
You actually, as we spoke, got more rotted.
I did.
Like, oh, I'm not very rotted this week. And then all of a sudden, I'm rotted.
Yeah. And I feel like I've been like a ham in a slow cooker. I've been slowly
tasty
rotting. Yeah.
And ready to be sliced.
The meat falling off me. so who's rotting you this week? Who is your first rotter?
My first rotter is people that get bad lip filler that makes their lips look like buttholes. Okay.
Oh.
Go to proper places, people. Stop letting
every Tom, Dick, or Harry inject you unless said Tom, Dick, or Harry are really hot, and then I understand that. But like, I've been looking at some people online, I'm like, why do that person's lips look like a butthole? Like an absolute... Do you know what I mean by that?
No, I don't. Is that because like they don't... The lips don't close?
Lumpy, bee stingy, like little like...
But that's a style of lip as well.
Oh, it's
that's,
not nice.
That's like... It's called like the Russian baby doll, I think. So it's like...
So some people want that.
Yeah, that's like... It's like a trend. So that's a trend. So there's like the where the lip line is kind of prominent.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's okay. a certain clinic that does quite a lot of them.
Okay. Well, maybe I'm seeing all the people who go to that clinic, but I'm just looking at it. I'm like,
it's not for everyone.
It doesn't look nice. No, though.
But I think if somebody has a lip, it's not so bad. But it's when people have very small lips
and then
they're trying to expand. That's when like there's only so much you can do.
You need the lip. You need a lip
to push a lip. You can't if you have really small, like let's just say mean lips.
Okay,
you can't. Stretch them out, you know, because then they will start getting distorted.
I had small, very small top lip, and now I have like a shape of a top lip, like a proper shape. I just think that, like, I don't know where people are going, but like, don't let anyone just inject your lips.
Well, I think as well though, if they like it and it's not harming anyone,
delusional.
Yeah, well, like, you could say that about anything. Do you know what I mean?
Okay,
you could. Like, I know what you're saying. Like, bad work in general.
Yeah.
Speaking of bad work, did Madonna get a butt implant?
I don't know. She's looking kind of crazy at the moment.
What's going on? Like, I had heard about the butt implant, but I just saw pictures last night. Funnily, we were mentioning it. Like, it's really, really big.
Yeah.
Like, it's what is going on?
I don't know. And the face is looking bad. And her social media in general is. Just a little bit like, is she stoned all the time or what is it?
She does the thing like where she's kind of like looking up to the camera. It's a really weird angle.
It's not nice.
It's very strange.
Do you remember Ceiling Eyes from The Hills? Audrina, it's very Ceiling Eyes. Remember Perez used to always call her Ceiling Eyes?
Oh yeah, she'd be looking
because
up.
She'd be looking up and all you'd see is the whites of the bottom of her eye.
Listen, I'm all for people doing whatever they want, but I think when someone kind of goes a bit too far, I think it can... When they don't look like themselves, I think it's a little.
Yeah.
But listen, at the same time as well, live and let live.
Live and let live. And just don't buy the live, laugh, love sign, please.
Oh, no.
Just anything but that.
No. Do you know what I actually has been rotting me this week? This is, I'm going to open this up to lots of different things. And it just, so I met my friend for a socially distant coffee last week. Mm-hmm. And we were like, let's get a bit, we'll get like a sandwich and we'll go and sit in the park.
Okay.
And we went to this kind of like hipster kind of...
Hipster. Already I know where she's going.
Hipster kind of like, you know, sandwich bar that's supposed to be... The sandwiches are amazing. It's, like, it's so unusual and this and that. I was like, okay. Like, and you know me.
Yeah.
I'm like... I like mass-produced, nothing fancy, fast fashion, nothing... Like, I'm like...
Yeah.
I don't want this one-of-a-kind sandwich. I'd rather... I'm not fussy like that.
Okay.
But... My friend is.
Okay.
So we went to this place and first off, there's a queue. So I'm instantly going, okay, hang on. What's the ordering sandwiches here? Like, what's the fucking hold up?
Well, there has been a queue for the whole year.
Yeah.
For everything.
But I was like, what's going on here? So next thing, well, then I realized why there was a queue.
Right.
Because some fucking Muppet at the counter basically saying, do you have vegan cheese? Yes, we do. And is it nice? Is it nice? First off, you're ordering vegan cheese. Second of all, of course the person's going to tell you it's fucking nice. The person actually, in fairness, behind the counter goes, I don't know. I'm not vegan.
Love right? that. Okay.
So then I was
have
like,
have you tried vegan cheese?
Yeah, which is like totally fine. Like,
nice
lovely.
Melted, not nice.
Lovely.
Firm.
Lovely, but you know, whatever. So this is a big hold up. So this is a causing scene. And then like the girl behind the counter is like, oh, are you dairy intolerant? Are you this? Are you that? All these medical questions. And I'm like, this is for a sandwich. Yeah. Like a sandwich.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, I can make you this. So it's going to be a 15 minute wait. 15 minutes for a sandwich? Are you for real? Like, honestly. So that rotted me as we were getting closer. And then...
Were you starving as well?
No, I wasn't. Okay. It was just annoying me.
Yeah.
And just this weird kind of like... Just the unnecessary. Like, just order your vegan sandwich, get your sandwich, and fuck off.
Yeah.
Why are you like delaying half the fucking like queue people? It like at a busy hour, and yeah, just, you know, people asking stupid questions.
Yeah.
Like, cop on.
Yeah.
All these people are around fucking, ugh, I don't know. I think people have got like more dense through this fucking pandemic. So, yeah, that rotted me. And then just those, you know, the nicheness of those businesses, like, oh, we could do this and we could, it's like, it's sandwich, you're not reinventing the wheel, you know?
Yeah.
So, long story short, I'm going to O'Brien's from now on.
Oh, yeah. Like, did you get the sandwich in the end?
Yeah.
And was it nice?
It was totally fine. It was a toasted sandwich.
Yeah.
But it, like, my friend Stevie, who's probably listened to this, Stevie, I told you I was going to be talking about this.
Yeah.
Like, Stevie is very particular about his food. I'm not particular. I'm not fussy. So I just don't see the hoo-ha over a sandwich.
Yeah. Devine just unhinges her jaw and lowers it down. Yeah, that's and it. It's gone. Done. Full ham, gone.
Gone. So that's one thing. Just these, trying to reinvent a sandwich or a coffee or ask stupid questions in a quiz or in a quiz. Ask stupid questions in a queue. I'm not there for it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, my second one is essentially the same as that because I was in the off license and there was these two girls. There was a queue of six people in my off license, right? Oh. And like, you know, it's sunny out.
Yeah.
I was going to the park and I wanted to get a few drinks.
Yeah.
But I also had a taxi waiting outside. So I was like, come on, Jimmy, on, speed it up. Mm. And these two girls were like, oh, what are the slushies like? Are they nice? Are the slushies nice? Oh,
same thing. It's basically asking stupid questions. Right.
Paid for a bit and then said, actually, oh, I'm going to, I need a lighter. I'll get a lighter now as well. And then everything's by card, obviously, at the moment, because everyone's due by card. And then like, and how's business today? Is business good today? And I'm literally standing there with like a ton of booze in my hands, which is freezing cold as well. There's like three people behind me rolling their eyes. And then her and her friend had to pay separately.
Yeah.
Now, in the era of Revolut, none of us need to do that anymore. Okay, especially when you can see there's a ton of people behind, and the little old man behind the counter did not want to talk to her, but he kept going. She kept going and going and going, and then just as she was about to leave the off license, she turned around and she went, "Oh, happy Easter, by the way. Firstly, you're off to get locked in a park. You are no Christian, okay? Do you know what I mean? You're no Christian.
I'm a Christian woman.
You're going to spike that slushy that you just bought, and I know what you're about to do. Any nice plans for it?" He's working in the fucking off license. Also, get the fuck out.
Like, no.
We need to pay for our goods.
No awareness. And I think that's probably the bit. It's like, just be a little self-aware.
Yeah. Yeah. But the Happy Easter thing this year grated on me a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
Well, I think it's just another holiday that we've missed. It's like, it's another, people have nothing else to say.
Yeah.
So it's like, Happy Easter, Happy St. Patrick's Day. Oh, fuck off.
Nobody cares. It's it's Sunday. You know, I woke up on Monday and I was like, it's a bank holiday. I didn't even know it was a bank holiday.
I don't even believe in God. Go away. And the other thing that rots me, and this is absolutely disgusting. So if any of you do this, don't fucking listen to this podcast anymore. You are banished.
Are they?
Filth!
Anyone who smokes in bed or smokes in the bath is disgusting.
Okay.
If I see one more person posting, and you know what? I've caught a couple of people putting up pictures of themselves in their bedroom, whatever, and you can zoom, and in the back there's an ashtray.
Yeah.
Smoking in your bedroom is gross.
Yeah.
Or smoking in the bath. Who smokes in the bath?
Like, it could be quite glamorous. If you feel like Pretty Woman, do you know what I mean? Julia Roberts?
Absolutely so not glamorous. It is hilarious and ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it rots me. I just think it's absolutely disgusting because all I can do is just get that stank of like dirty smoke.
Mm-hmm.
You know the smell I'm talking about. It's rotten.
It's like when you still go to like one of the countries that you're still allowed to smoke indoors.
Oh. Do you remember when people could smoke and we'd like do shows and your wigs would stink one night, and we kind of just obviously didn't really like weren't aware of it, but it's only when it stops it just reeks.
I used to spray Febreze into my wigs.
Yeah.
To try and unlock the cigarette
there was
smoke.
Literally a bottle of Febreze on every door handle in the George.
No one was using it on their tights, just their hair.
Oh, the Febreze.
Yeah.
So people who smoke, and
one of my friends does that.
Oh, it's so gross.
Yeah.
And also like the vape as well.
Okay, like, what about the vape?
Just vaping is just weird as well. Like, just, you know, you see some people that like have the vape glued to their mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what are you, the caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Some people hold it. Sometimes, by the way, for you guys listening at home,
I'm holding it now.
me and Davina. Okay. No, people that hold it like it's like a fistful of vape. And you're like, and then they go.
Just so you know that they're vaping.
Yeah.
Serial vapists, beware. Yeah. No interest.
Absolutely. I quite enjoyed those, but I have to say the highlight of the Rotters of the Week were those Q people.
Yeah, they are. And I think, do you know what it is though? It's because it's coming into summer now, so everybody's out and they're going to be sitting outside and getting takeaway drinks and takeaway this and takeaway. Here, take away this. Cop the fuck on and move the queue along. Take that away, which you love. That's what I have to say.
Stop getting in the way of our vodka. Yeah. That is the end of this. So I just want to remind you all to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really does help other people find our podcasts.
Yes.
Or on Acast. I'm not sure how many people are listening to on Acast.
We recently just changed over to Acast, so we're still figuring out all our analytics and all that kind of stuff. And we actually lost a lot of analytics from our first season, so we're kind of trying to...
Yeah, we only have info for the last few months. Yeah. But what I will say is we're huge in the Philippines. We have 4 listeners in the Philippines.
I know.
No, sometimes I like have a few drinks and I'll go on and look at what countries I listen to.
It's kind of
like,
fascinating.
Like
I know those 4 people, by the way. I did a bingo for one of them for Google. No, I'm joking.
Well, 10% of our listeners are in America. So hi, everyone who is in America that somehow found us.
Oh, I know Billy Halpin is definitely in America. Billy he listens. Yeah. And I know Lynn is an avid listener. She's in Toronto. So I know the fact that, because they're always mailing.
Expats, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think it's just like a little taste of home and a little rot of Irishness. So yeah, we love that you listen and we love that we give you a little laugh.
Absolutely. Please be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram. It's at Pay Little Things Pod. And also Davina is at Davina.divine, right?
Davina.divine, yes, for now. Until the other one passes away and I can steal her Instagram.
We need her. We need her on a show. We have to do something with her at some point.
Maybe she could teach us a belly dancing for our Patreon.
Okay, that's it. That's absolutely it. We're learning belly dancing.
Okay.
Via Zoom. That's coming soon. And I'm at Victoria's Secret Dublin on Instagram as well.
But and we're just going to be in our houses for the next year. So if anyone is looking for us, no, that's
where you find us. I'm going. Like, if it's not, it's sneaking to get dental surgery in Lanzarote. I'll break a tooth if I have to. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't keep up. But anyway, until next time, stay indoors, stay rotted, and stay petty.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.